Okay, so we're going to start a series on the Seder. So I'd just like to give over my own experience in the Pesach Seder, which is. I haven't been anywhere besides by my father's Pesach Seder. Actually, I was by my father-in-law as well. I'll try to give over what I have experienced, what I've witnessed, and try to try to explain some of the things that I've experienced through what I've learned in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. The number one, the first thing we need to know as we approach the Pesach Seder is that the Seder needs to be conducted with tremendous simcha. There is a level of simcha, of joy by the Seder that perhaps is unparalleled throughout the year. Now, what is this simcha based on? We find in the Sfarim HaKadoshim that by Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, at that time we were at the lowest level of Tumah possible. We are on the 49th, with the 49th gate of Tumah, just about to enter the 50th. Had Hashem not taken us out of Mitzrayim right then, we would have disappeared into oblivion, into the oblivion of Tumah. And so that's why Hashem took us out before the time that He had originally said to save us from going into that 50th gate. So we were on the lowest level of Tumah possible. And the Rabbeinu Shleilam came in and took us out of Mitzrayim and raised us. The Pasuk says, "Va'esa eschem al kanfei neshorim," I raised you on the wings of eagles. "Va'avi eschem elai," and I brought you to me. And the Rabbeinu Shleilam took us from the lowest of the low and elevated us to the highest levels, to a level of Gilu Shechina. The Pasuk says of a Moira Godel, that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim there was a Moira Godel, there was a great awesomeness, which Chazal says Zu Gilu Shechina, it was a revelation of Shechina. Klal Yisrael at the time merited to see a vision of the Shechina that ordinarily is impossible to see and to experience. And this isn't something of the past. The Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, and the Arizal tells us, that each and every year, this night of Pesach, a Yid, no matter how low the Yid has fallen, from a Yid that is in the lowest levels of Tumah, is elevated. The Rabbeinu Shleilam takes us from the lowest levels of Tumah and raises us to the highest levels of Kedusha.
What does it mean? I understand the word, but what does it really mean?
It means that if it's a metzias, it's a fact that Hashem takes us out of the Tumah. Whether we're going to take advantage of it or not is up to us. But Hashem takes us out of the Tumah and raises us to Kedusha. You'll find that Pesach Seder is something that Yidden that are very, very far from Torah observance, they observe the Pesach Seder. People that don't observe anything else, Pesach Seder they observe. And the reason for that is because they might not even know, they definitely don't know. But the reason is that the Rabbeinu Shalom, Hashem, raises every Yid out of Tumah on that first night of Pesach. And if a Yid would, if we would take the initiative to grab whatever we can on this night and try to tap into that Kedusha, we would be able to maintain whatever we're able to. We definitely can't, we're not able to stay on that level of Kedusha. that the Rebbeinu Shlom raises us to on the first night. But we definitely can try to hold on to the bits and pieces of the Kedusha to whatever extent we're willing to. Recently, I explained there's a pasuk in Parshas Shemois where Hashem tells Moshe by the burning bush to go take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe asks Hashem, "Chiyosias Bnei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim? Will I be able to take them out of Mitzrayim?" And Rashi explains what's Moshe's question. Moshe's question is, what merit do they have? There's Bnei Yisrael at that time were on such a low level. What merit do they have to that they should be zeicha to a liberation, to Yetzias Mitzrayim?
What merit did he have?
He didn't have either, but he's asking. He was included. What merit is there?
But he was somewhere in the 80 years. He was running. How do you even know who at what level? How could you say about whole nation that they're on some kind of?
He knew exactly where they were holding. He was.
How he could know? He was somewhere.
He was. I mean, for the last 80 years, he was in.
Whatever he was somewhere. Say something.
Before he left, he even saw where they were holding. So, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's question, and Hashem answered him. When you take them out of Mitzrayim, they will serve me on this mountain. The mountain they were standing on at that time was Har Sinai. So Hashem said, when you take them out of Mitzrayim, they'll serve me on this mountain. And the way Rashi understands that is that you're right, Moshe, they actually have no merit right now. But once you take them out, they're going to accept the Torah. I'm taking them out on credit that they're going to accept the Torah. It's very difficult because, I mean, where do we find that Hashem should give a liberation on credit, especially since we had the option of turning down the Torah? We didn't have to accept it. We did have to. But it was up to us whether we wanted to accept it or not. And I believe that what the Rebbeinu Shlom was telling Moshe was something very important. And that is, you know, there are two mountains in two very important mountains in Yiddishkeit. One is Har Sinai, and one is Har HaMoriah. Right? Har HaMoriah is where the Beis HaMikdash is built. So Har Sinai is the mountain of Torah. Har HaMoriah is the mountain of Avodah. Right? That's where the Beis HaMikdash is. What's the difference between these two mountains? Har HaMoriah, Avodah, is where a Yid raises themselves to Hashem. Har Sinai is where the Rebbeinu Shlom descended to us. That's a fundamental difference between the two. What is Har HaMoriah? Why did Hashem choose to build the Beis HaMikdash in Har HaMoriah? Right? So one can argue that the reason is because that's where Akedas Yitzchak was. Right? Akedas Yitzchak was, it's a tremendous chus. That's where Yitzchak stretched out his neck to be slaughtered, Akedas Hashem. That's where Avraham Avinu was prepared to slaughter his one and only son for Hashem. That's why the Beis HaMikdash was built there. It can't be the reason. Why? Because Hashem told Avram to slaughter Yitzchak in Har HaMoriah. Why did Hashem choose that mountain? The answer is because on that mountain there's a rock called Evan Shesiah. The Evan Shesiah, Chazal say, is called Evan Shesiah because that's the cornerstone of the world. That's where that's the cornerstone. That's where the earth began. When Hashem created the world, Rashi, in the beginning of the Torah, tells us that Hashem created the world with Midas Adin, with the attribute of justice. That in order to be able to get anything, you have to deserve it. Then Hashem saw the world can't exist that way, and Hashem introduced the attribute of Chesed. But Har HaMoriah is based on that cornerstone, which was created with Midas Adin. In order for us to be able to merit a Beis HaMikdash, it works with Midas Adin. You have to raise yourself to Hashem. And when we're not, when we don't have merit, then the Beis HaMikdash is taken away from us. This is not the case by Har Sinai. Har Sinai, we don't have to raise ourselves to Hashem. Pasuk says, Yishom Alechem Alois Bahar. Be careful and don't ascend that mountain. Quite the contrary. The Ribbono Shel Olam descends to us. Har Sinai represents total chesed, total kindness. It represents the fact that we're the Ribbono Shel Olam's children. And children, a father loves children with unconditional love. There are no conditions. The Torah is given to us no matter where we are, no matter what level we're on, despite all the averus that we've done, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was taken away from us. The Torah was never taken away from us. The Torah is always ours. Because the Torah represents the Ribbono Shel Olam descending to us no matter what level we're on. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Har Sinai. So when Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, what merit do they have to be taken out of Mitzrayim? Hashem says that they don't need merit. When you take them out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to give them the Torah on this mountain, not on Har Moriah. I'm giving them the Torah on this mountain, the mountain I'm going to descend to them on their level. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the Ribbono Shel Olam descending to each and every one of us on our level and raising us into His embrace. And that's the reason for this tremendous simcha that we're supposed to, if we want to, we can experience it on Pesach night. In Parshas Bo, there's a pasuk. V'ha'ya ki yomer aleichem b'neichem o avoid azlois lachem. And it will be when your sons will say to you, what is this service for you? And you will say, Zebach Pesach Hul Hashem, this is a Pesach offering to Hashem, Asher Pesach Abotah B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, as he skipped over the houses of B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim. B'Nogba is Mitzrayim B'Zabotenu Hitzel, when he smote the Egyptians and he saved our houses. V'Yikadom V'Yishtachu, and the nation bowed down and prostrated themselves. So, the pasuk says that when your children will say to you, "Ma, what is this service to you?" You should answer them, "This is a Pesach offering that we offer as to recognize that Hashem skipped over the houses of Bnei Yisrael." And everybody asks the kasha. This pasuk is talking. Is the which child is asking the question? It's the Rasha. What is this service to you? This is the wicked son asking the question. And the Balagoda says to answer him differently. The Balagoda says, say to him, knock out his teeth, and say to him that had he been there, you never would have been redeemed. Here the apostle says to answer like a mensch. Answer him. This is a Pesach offering that Hashem skipped over the houses of Bnei Yisrael. Why did the Balagoda deviate from what's written in the pasuk? And then the pasuk says, "Va'yikadam va'yistachavu." The nation bowed down and prostrated themselves. Rashi says, "Why did they bow down? Because they heard that they were going to have children. When they heard, Hashem is telling them, your children are going to ask you. Oh, that means we're going to have children. They thanked Hashem. They bowed down and thanked Hashem. But Hashem is telling them they're going to have children that are rishoyim. This is talking about a wicked child. What are they thanking Hashem for?" So there's a story that Rav Moshe Leib Sasever was once by the Rebbe of Meidlich of Lizhensk. It was either Pesach or it was Parshas Boy. And the Rebbe Meilech asked the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser to say Torah. And the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser said on this pasuk, a few pesukim beforehand, it says that Hashem will pass over to smite the Egyptians. He'll see the blood on the doorposts. Hashem will skip over the door. And Rashi says, "Vedileg." He'll skip over. But the word it should have said. It seems that it should have said, Hashem will skip over the door. Here it says, Hashem skips on the door. What does that mean? So the Rebbe Moshe Leib Sasser said that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam saw that the Yidden fulfilled the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and put blood on the doorposts, Hashem started dancing by the door. Hashem started dancing, Duvoin Tayid. Here lives a Yid, here lives a Yid. And Moshe Leib Sasser got so enthusiastic while he was saying this that he jumped on the table and started dancing, Duvoin Tayid. Here lives a Yid. So what's pshat in the story? The Arizal says that when a Yid performs a mitzvah nowadays, he's talking in his generation. Could you imagine our generation? When a Yid fulfills a mitzvah nowadays, says Arizal, it is more valuable to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam than a mitzvah that was performed by the biggest tzaddikim, the Tanoim and Amoraim, in their days. Or in the days the Beis HaMikdash was standing. He said a mitzvah nowadays, and the smallest mitzvah nowadays, is more valuable than the biggest mitzvahs then. Why? He says because there's the Gemara says, Shraga b'tihara mai mahanya, meaning a candle in broad daylight doesn't accomplish that much. But when you have a candle in darkness, it illuminates the room. He says in those generations where there was so much revelation of godliness in the world, there were tremendous tzaddikim, there was a Beis HaMikdash. So a mitzvah is called a ner, right? Ner mitzvah v'toyah. A mitzvah definitely is great, but a mitzvah in our dark generation, every mitzvah accomplishes so much more than the mitzvahs back then, because it's a mitzvah in thick darkness, in dense darkness. So it has a tremendous impact, which brings tremendous nachas to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Therefore, could you imagine when Klal Yisrael were in Mentesh Shari Tumah, where they were, Klal Yisrael was on the lowest levels of Tumah. And here the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said to them, go take a shepsela, take a lamb and shecht it and put the blood on the doorposts. A mitzvah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave them a mitzvah. And Klal Yisrael did this mitzvah in such darkness of Tumah, in Mitzrayim, a Tumah land, in a place at a time when they were on such a low level of Tumah, that brought so much light, it brought so much nachas to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Kevyochel saw the blood on the doorpost, he started dancing, as the Moshe Leib Sasser said, Duvoin Tayid. So every year, when Klal Yisrael would perform this mitzvah of Korban Pesach, there would be the wicked child that would be sitting at the table. And their father would tell them about the Korban Pesach, how Yidden fulfilled this mitzvah of Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim when they were on the lowest levels of Tumah, and that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam danced at their doorpost. And the Rosh would light up. You mean, Tata, you mean that there's still some hope for me? You mean that if I start doing a mitzvah, if I start doing mitzvahs, you're telling me that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to have nachas from me? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to shep nachas? Maybe from me more than anybody else? And the father would say, yes, that's exactly what Pesach is about. That's exactly what it's about. So it flows. So you're going to do this avodah And your son, the Rosh, is going to say to you, tell me more about this avoida. You're going to explain to him, this is the carbon. The Rebbein Shalom danced at our doorposts. And Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael hears that even when we're on the lowest levels of Tumah, the Rebbein Shalom is going to have nachas from us, we bow down, we prostrate ourselves. No matter how low we fall, the Rebbein Shalom will still come on Pesach night and have nachas from us and raise us to into his embrace. The Rosh of the Haggadah is saying, Ma Havoida Azlais Lachem, what is this service to you? But he's adding those next three words also. It's the Rosh himself adding those last three words. Lachem V'loiloi. He's saying, I'm lost. Forget it. There's no hope for me. It's only for you. It's not for me. With a fish hoitzi es atzmoim en haklal. Since he's excluding himself, since he is giving up on himself, kofar be'ikr, he is denying the ikr of what Pesach is about. The ikr of what Pesach is about is every yid realizing that no matter how low we fall, no matter how distant we have drifted, the Rebbein Shalom wants to embrace us. He embraces us on Pesach, and he appreciates our avodah more than anything else, more than the avodah of the biggest tzaddik. And since this Rosh, the Rosh of the Haggadah, is excluding himself, that's when we take it, tell him, you know what? Had you been there, there would have been no hope for you. Four-fifths of Bnei Yisrael gave up on themselves in Mitzrayim and vanished. But those, despite the fact that they were Memtes Sharei Tumah, believed that the Rebbein Shalom wants them, that Rebbein Shalom comes down to their level and raises them, they're the ones that left Mitzrayim. And they're the ones that leave Mitzrayim every year. So this is all these thoughts should be going through our heads as we're approaching the Seder night, as we're approaching Pesach, the Pesach Seder, that the it's a tremendous opportunity to all, just allow ourselves to be embraced by the Rebbein Shalom. If you look into the Zohar HaKadosh, when he talks about Pesach night, he talks about the tremendous simcha that the Rebbein Shalom has, and that he gathers together the entire Pamal Yishamali. He gathers together all the angels, and he tells them, go to the Seder, look at my Yidalach, look at my children, how they're so joyous, how they're so besimcha with the redemption of the Rebbein Shalom. Tiferes Shlomo says that the whole miracle of Purim came about because of the Pesach Seder. It says in the Megillah, Vayavar Mordechai, that Mordechai transgressed. So the Gemara says, what did Mordechai transgress? So because when Esther told him to gather together all the Jews and have them fast for 3 days, those 3 days were Pesach. And that year, there was no Seder. For the 3 days, Mordechai declared a fast day for 3 days, and no matzah, no mor. They just were in the Beis Medrash davening for 3 days. And the Tosh Lama asks, they had time. Why didn't Mordechai have to cancel Pesach? Push it off. Make the fast day a couple days later. And the Tosh Lama says that Mordechai wanted to show the Rebbein Shalom that if Haman has his way, I want you to see what future Pesachs are going to look like. Future Pesachs, and not going to be any matzah, and no morer, and no Pesach. This is what you're going to be, this is what you're signing up for. And when there was no Pesach that year, the Rebbein Shalom tore the decree. nullified the decree. The Belzeruv says, that the Gilui, that in this Gilui Shechina, this revelation of the Shechina that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim, takes place in every Jewish home, every Pesach night. There's a revelation of the Shechina. And he says that's why Magid begins with Holach Va'anya, which is in Aramaic. Usually, the Gemara says that we're not supposed to daven in Aramaic because the angels don't understand Aramaic. That's what the Gemara says. So, but the Gemara says, but when you're at the bed of a person who's sick, you're allowed to daven in Aramaic. Why? Because the Shechina dwells at the head of a sick person. So we don't need the angels to understand. We're talking directly to Hashem, so we could speak in Aramaic. So the Baal Haggadah wanted to emphasize that there is Gilui Shechina at every Yiddish Seder. So he started the Haggadah in Aramaic. We don't need the angels. Talking directly to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. You know, this year, Pesach Seder is Friday night. The minig in most of Klal Yisrael is not to say Shalom Aleichem. Even though on every other Yontif, we say Shalom Aleichem when it falls on Friday night. Pesach night, you don't say Shalom Aleichem. Why? Because we don't need the angels. Shalom Aleichem is for the angels. We say Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis. You know, what a wonderful guest to have, but we really don't need them. We have the Shechina himself. We don't need the angels. I think actually in Bells, I think the minig is to say Shalom Aleichem, just not to embarrass them. You know, they come with us every Friday night and every Yontif, so we don't want to embarrass them, and as if we don't need them, so they say Shalom Aleichem Friday night and Pesach night also. But the majority of Klal Yisrael does not say Shalom Aleichem. There's a granddaughter of the Chassam Sofer that writes. She writes about the Pesach Seder. She actually married into the family. She married a grandson of the Chassam Sofer. And she writes that before the Seder, the family warned her, for the first time she came into the Chassam Sofer Seder, the family warned her not to look at his face during the Seder because it's too bright. And she didn't believe them. She thought, then she said she looked at his face during the Seder, she was almost blinded. He said his face radiated such light during the Seder that it was, you couldn't look at his face. We're talking about Gilui Shechina for people that are able to take it in. Just unbelievable. And we just have to believe that it's there. And we believe that it's there, and we could just have this sense of simcha, that we're able to be dragged out of the mud into freedom. Now, we have to realize that since there is such a tremendous avodah of simcha on Pesach night, there is a tremendous yetzahara to try to destroy the simcha. And there's a lot of things that could go wrong on Erev Pesach. We're dealing with very nervous people on Erev Pesach. And the yetzahara is trying to destroy the simcha. And we have to just be on our watch, be on our guard, not to let it get to us. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person should set their tables on Erev Pesach so that they can start the Seder immediately as they get home after Shul. Now, Kiddush should not be made until it's definitely night. Everyone according to whichever shita they hold, for For me, that would be 72 minutes after Shkia. For others, it's 60. For others, it's 50. It depends. Where whatever Zman one holds on Motzei Shabbos, that would be the time to make Kiddush on Pesach night. Now, the reason given in Shulchan Aruch why it's so important to have everything set up before Pesach and to start immediately is that the children should not fall asleep. So, if that's the case, are we to conclude that if someone who has no children in the house, someone who's empty nesters, or there are no children in the house, they can start the Seder whenever they want? The answer is no. Children don't necessarily mean little kids. We all have the children inside of us. We don't want those children to fall asleep either. You know, the Balagoda says, "Keneged arbo abonim debir Torah." The Torah speaks. The Torah addresses four sons: Chacham, the wise son; the Rasha, the wicked son; the Tam, the simple son; and the Sheni de Elishal, and the son that doesn't know how to ask. I believe that all four of these sons exist within each and every one of us. There's part of us that's inquisitive, that's curious, we want to know more. That's the chacham. We all have that chacham within us, that wants to know, that is truly inquisitive. We want to learn more, we want to understand more. And then there is the rasha within ourselves. There is the skeptical part of us, that we all have it. There's the tam. There's definitely part of us that's very innocent, and we just don't know, mazois. And then there's the Sheini de Elisha. There's part of us that have no idea what to ask. All four of those are within each and every one of us. And if there is no Zrizus, if we're lax about starting, if we're just laid back, we're just gonna lose it all. Any cheshik that we have, any excitement that there is to have the Seder, if we procrastinate, there's a valid concern that the tinoikos inside of us are gonna fall asleep. We're gonna lose the momentum. You have to start the Seder while the momentum is on and grab the opportunities and the hashpois that there are, the oiris, the illuminations that there are on this very special night. There's another very, very important magical power that the first night, that this Seder night has, and that is the Torah says, "V'igadta levincha b'yayim ahu," that on that day you should relate to your child what happened. What happened in Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim is the soitis of our Amunah. It's the foundations of our Amunah, as the Ramban explains. It illustrates to us the Hashem's ability and how he can, Hashem can destroy all the laws of nature. So we, besides the mitzvah of giving over the emunah to our children, the Sforim HaKadoshim say that there's a magical power on this night that our words actually enter the ears and the hearts of our children. So we have to take the opportunity to instill this emunah that we have for so many generations into our children, so that the chain of Yiddishkeit should continue. The Chassam Sofer says on the pasuk, "V'igadta levincha b'yayim ahu leimar," you should relate to your child on that day, saying. So the word leimar seems to be extra. Says Chassam Sofer that the power of Pesach night is that we can give over the emunah to our children in a manner that the child will be able to give it over to his children. You should give it over, you should relate it to your child in a manner that he's going to be able to give it over to his children. Now there's a condition. If we want emunah to be transmitted to our children, and that is that we have to practice what we preach. We have to actually believe what we're saying. Chazal say this, Chazal allude to this. Chazal say that one is only fulfills the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of relating the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We can only fulfill it b'shah sheyesh matzah u'mora menachem lefanecha. Only when there is matzah and mora lying in front of you. Meaning, if you're not practicing what you're saying, then don't even bother. When the children see that we actually practice, we have a mitzvah of matzah, and we have the mitzvah of mora that we're practicing, and we're eating matzah, and we're eating mora, that speaks louder than just words. We have to practice what we preach. I was thinking that perhaps this is what Chazal say, that we should lean to the left and not to the right. On Pesach, Shemi Yagdim Kana Leveshet. Right, because the windpipe, the food might, if you're leaning to the left, if you're leaning to the right, the windpipe opens up. And then if you're eating, the food could go down your windpipe instead of going down the esophagus. And the way the Chazal worded is Shemayagdim Kona Leveshet, the windpipe might precede the esophagus. What is the windpipe made for? The windpipe is made for speaking, talking. The esophagus is made for swallowing. Chazal are telling us, right, so the esophagus is made for doing the mitzvahs, swallowing the matzah, swallowing the mar. The windpipe is made for telling you Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Don't allow the windpipe to precede the esophagus. The veshet has to precede the kana. If you're swallowing the mouth of the mar, then you can start talking Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. But if you're just spouting words to your children and you're not practicing, it's not going to accomplish anything. This is just a lesson in chinuch in general. If we want to give over to transmit to our children anything, we have to believe it and we have to practice it. I only have like 2 minutes. Kittel is worn on Pesach night. Chabad wear a kittel on Pesach night or not? No? In places where they do wear a kittel on Pesach night. many different reasons have been given for it. One reason is it's considered derech cherus. It's considered, it represents freedom. White represents the angels, just like on Yom Kippur. It's interesting that the Taz says that because of this, some of you in Avol, Rachman al-Litzlan, should not wear a kittel on Pesach night. That's what he says. Because it's to represent Cheres and Simcha, an Avol should not wear it on Pesach night. And then he says, but there's another reason why we wear a kittel. Because we're so joyous on Pesach night, and this actually works into everything we just said. The joy, there's an unparalleled simcha on Pesach night than there is any other time of the year, and so that we shouldn't get carried away with the simcha, we put on the kittel to remind us the day of death, to remind us of our tachrichim, to mellow the simcha a little bit. So therefore, says the Taz, according to that reason, an Avol can wear a kittel. Because it's to mellow the simcha, it's not to increase the simcha. Says the Magen Avraham, no. An aval shouldn't wear a kittel regardless. Because if it's because of simcha, he shouldn't be wearing a kittel. If it's because of to mellow the simcha, his simcha is mellowed anyway. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that reminder. So the aval shouldn't wear a kittel regardless. I believe the minhag is that we do wear a kittel. That avelim do wear a kittel on Pesach night, even I guess that according to the along the shit of the Taz. The Eved Shalom, we should be zoche to a tremendous Seder night, and we will continue next week, next Monday night.